Welcome, listeners. You are tuned in to the People's History Project podcast, run by Oprah Kingston, a student-run group with a focus on research, education, and direct action on intersectional matters of social and environmental justice. Before we begin, we would like to acknowledge that this podcast is being recorded at CFRC at Queen's University, situated on traditional Anishinaabe and Haudenosaunee territory. It is our collective responsibility to address the systemic oppression that Indigenous people face and contribute to meaningful reconciliation and direct action in support of Indigenous autonomy and rights. The People's History Project aims to recognize and preserve the important roles that Kingstonians and Queen's students have played in many social movements throughout the year. The stories of people who participated in struggles for social and environmental justice, queer, Indigenous, Black, anti-racist, feminist, among many others, often go untold in official history. The People's History Project seeks to engage with these stories by making accessible the rich history of social movements and resistance in Kingston. So, if you've ever been curious about how Kingston as we know it came to be, you are listening to the right podcast. There was a brief moment in the summer of 1999 where parking attendants in downtown Kingston were rendered so incapable of doing their jobs that you could find them sitting frustrated in restaurants instead of looking for parking violations. These parking attendants were prevented from doing their jobs by no more than 2 to 3 youths who would follow the parking attendants on their run ahead of them and plug quarters into the parking meters, which had expired, preventing the attendants from giving these vehicles tickets. These youths were members of the People's Parking Ticket Service. They would then slip envelopes onto the windshield, informing the owner of the cars that they had been saved from a ticket. The envelope also asked for a small donation so that the parking ticket service could continue their efforts. In addition, the stated purpose of the donation was to support the funding of a youth shelter in Kingston. It was an active fundraiser with envelopes self-addressed to the People's Community Union, the group who organized this campaign, as well as a direct act of protest against the city. The People's Community Union had been agitating for a better-funded youth hostel or shelter for months. The parking ticket service was only the latest in a long series of actions meant to pressure the city. This time, they would apply pressure by cutting into the revenues gained by parking. The People's Parking Ticket Service also paid their volunteer Robin Hood, many of whom, the Whig Standard notes, had been homeless or had lived close to the poverty line. It was the kind of moneymaker where we could pay the young people that were doing it a minimum wage fee and cover the cost of all the quarters to plug the meters, remembers Matt Silburn, member of the PCU and one of the main organizers of the People's Parking Ticket Service. The service, which was advertised both via word of mouth and through a season-long publication of a zine, which he distributed at his place of work at the Sleepless Goat Cafe, which has its own story as a hub of queer activism back in the day. We were able to do our organizing over the counter and hand out flyers and leaflets to people we thought might benefit from working together with other people in similar situations. The previous few years had made life as an at-risk youth in Kingston and even Ontario increasingly more difficult. Under the rule of Premier Mike Harris, it was nearly impossible to get welfare as a person under 18, especially as a kid who was unable to live with their family. The same summer, the city of Kingston had launched a campaign against squeegeers, buskers, and panhandlers, following the Ontario Safe Streets Act, which forbade any panhandling in Ontario that could be construed as being done in an aggressive manner. It is for this reason that the back of the People's Parking Ticket Service envelopes also included the option to give your donation to any downtown panhandler, busker, or squeegeer as an alternative payment option. In the same year, the Downtown Business Improvement Association, DBIA, and the Kingston Police partnered in an effort to drive homeless youth from the downtown core. That was their explicit mandate, Matt Silburn remembered. It was said publicly by the chief of police. The owner of the Amadeus Caf in downtown Kingston was well known for being hostile and abusive towards street youth, yelling at buskers or panhandlers, not only in front of his store, but also across the street. Silburn said he wasn't the only one, but he was the one who was voted the worst. Silburn worked for a cooperative cafe named the Sleepless Goat, and was therefore technically an owner of a downtown business, so he attended some of the DBIA meetings. In this way, he was able to write about the goings-on of the business association in the zine he distributed to the youth taking direct action against the DBIA. In one meeting, he subsequently wrote about in Long Hot Summer, he recalled another member telling an anecdote about seeing a squeegeer getting punched in the face, and that the general membership of the Downtown Business Association reacted with laughter. They were a terrible group of people. The circumstances surrounding the summer of 1999, the compounding bureaucracy of government, the increased hostility of the Downtown Business Improvement Association and the police required a new kind of community organizing in Kingston. The history of organizing in Kingston was very sporadic, said Harry Pilford, a longtime Kingston activist. There were particular issue-oriented politics that would happen, things that were pro-choice or against the war or against what was happening in Oakland. And all these were effective groups for their respective issue. What Kingston lacked was a community hub that was centralized and organized in order to deal with these issues on more than a case-by-case basis. The People's Community Union was the solution. Pilford remembers the PCU as a pull for organizing that would continue without being spurred on by crisis. The idea was to be proactive and assertive rather than merely responsive. The idea of a community union was attractive to many as a way to more effectively pressure the city of Kingston to respond to the needs of street youth. I didn't feel like running a youth shelter, but I felt like living in a community where people demand that young people are taken care of and put pressure on city officials to make sure that happens, Matt Silburn remembers. That was the intent. The PCU was behind a larger campaign in the summer of 1999 than just the People's Parking Ticket Service. Organized largely through a zine called The Long Hot Summer, the PCU also fought tickets given out to squeegeers and buskers. They also organized against the city's dumping of toxic waste in Bell Park and also participated in efforts to create a more bike, skateboarded, and pedestrian-friendly downtown through critical mass. The Long Hot Summer campaign was one which specifically organized street youth and took proactive rather than reactive action. We were calling the shots, Pilford recalled, and they were reacting to us. The parking ticket service itself lasted less than 2 full weeks, a victim of its own stunning success. Parking attendants began to actively avoid the parts of Kingston they knew were commonly home to the parking ticket service. In an effort to ensure the parking ticket service couldn't become a citywide organization, Kingston City Councilor Dave Pidgeon discovered a bylaw from 1967, which stated it was illegal to place flyers on parked cars and defined it as a form of littering. Kingston's the kind of city that had bylaws against just about anything, Silburn recalls. The fine violating this particular bylaw could be as great as $5,000. The Whig Standard referred to the bylaw as one which was rarely, if ever, used. An offer was extended to youth still participating in the People's Parking Ticket Service in the second Long Hot Summer zine to fight any and all tickets for free that they received while distributing envelopes. Mayor Gary Bennett wisely decided that suing the service that attracted sympathy on both sides of the aisle was not a course of action he was recommending the police pursue. Mayor Bennett was smarter than that because it was the exact thing we would have fed on, Pilford recalled. In addition to being the most popular action taken during the long hot summer, it was one of the few that built support for their cause. On September 9th, Mayor Bennett announced that he told the Kingston police not to actively pursue the People's Parking Service workers, stating that it would be an unreasonable level of bylaw enforcement. However, he also stated that the actions of the People's Parking Ticket Service constituted an act of passive extortion against the city of Kingston and that they were doing more harm to their cause than help. He also went further to say that he believed in the cause of a youth shelter in Kingston, but that funding one simply wasn't a financial possibility for the city at this time. The city didn't prioritize funding the youth shelter in a way that made the shelter able to have enough beds for all the people that needed them, Silburn remembers. It felt like a band-aid solution to a serious issue. The city of Kingston didn't have any qualms about saying these people were undesirable and disposable. Although he objected to the specific bylaw that would have ended the People's Parking Ticket Service, Mayor Bennett did not take any action to prevent the further mistreatment of homeless youth in his city. A lot of these young people were being targeted by police on a weekly, if not nightly, basis, Silburn remembers, and notes that the reason that his name is the one cited in the Whig Standard is that he felt it was immoral to ask these already vulnerable youth to make themselves more visible to the city and the police. We were trying to turn back the attack on homeless kids on the streets, Pilford said. This aim, more than fundraising, was the ultimate goal of the People's Parking Ticket Service. The People's Parking Ticket Service in itself, I don't think, did more than just embody the idea of what we are about, which was to empower people through creative ideas to annoy those in power. The organizing of the People's Community Union in the summer of 1999 was about more than plugging parking meters and distributing flyers. It was about creative, proactive community organizing and a demand for the needs of street youth to be treated with the seriousness they deserve. If they were unreasonable to us, we could be nasty to them, Pilford says. But he noted that unlike other unions, the People's Community Union could neither withdraw their labor as a tactic to pressure those in power to treat the community better, nor could the PCU actually leverage significant social capital. Silburn affectionately describes the group that they commonly organized as 25 street punks and half a dozen other ne'er-do-wells who were organizing so that we could all be treated properly. There was an affinity there and a mutual respect, Silburn said, but both organizers acknowledged that neither group had much social power. The only clout that poor people have is the power of disruption, Silburn says, and they used it to their advantage as much as possible. The long hot summer was an action that proved the viability of organizing groups for more than a single issue campaign, and of course, activism on the offensive rather than the defense. It's a lesson that emboldened Kingston organizing in its following years, as well as part of a wider pattern of activism in Ontario. Silburn points the actions of the Ontario Coalition Against Poverty the next summer in Queen's Park as part of the same trend. If there is a lesson to be learned from the People's Parking Ticket Service, it is not simply about parking tickets, but of the value of alternative methods as a way to apply pressure to an uncooperative government, and of organizing those whose issue is actually being championed. The People's Parking Ticket Service, in short, was far less about the parking tickets than it was about empowering community service in the face of an uncaring bureaucratic system designed to punish those living in poverty and houselessness. Thank you for tuning into this episode of Oprah Kingston's People History Podcast. For more information on the story, check out the transcript and citations on the Oprah Kingston website. If you would like to learn more about OPERG or the People's History Project, or if you are interested in getting involved, follow us on Facebook and Instagram at OPERG Kingston and stay up to date.